All right. Well, like we said earlier, today is Super Soul Sunday. And I think it's interesting that not only is it Super Soul Sunday, but this week is also Valentine's Day. And you say, well, you celebrate Valentine's Day? Well, I celebrate Valentine's Day with my Valentine every day. Okay? But the truth is, I think it's interesting that they have their big game this week, so we can focus on Super Soul Sunday. And a lot of people think about love on Valentine's Day, but Super Soul Sunday is also focusing on the things that God loves.
Amen.
And so what we're going to do today, I don't know whether I've been struggling with the title for the message. But I think a preacher friend of mine had a title, and I think I'm going to borrow his title. It's similar. And Brother James, he said, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I remember his illustration. He said, imagine you're going by Burger King, and you say, I want to get a Whopper, I want to get a fry, I want to get a soda. And they said, well, we got the fries, and we got the drink, but we don't have any Whoppers. Now, how many of you know what a Burger King sign says? It talks about the Whopper, don't it? And it says home of the Whopper. I want you to understand what he was saying is the fact that the main thing for a church is to be soul winning. Okay? And I'm going to go through some passages today. But what we've got is so many churches today that their focus is on everything else but winning souls. And you say, how do you know that? Well, we've been knocking doors in Bartow for almost 10 years now. Actually, not far from 10 years, because we got our 10th anniversary coming up in May. And we actually started before the anniversary, or the day we started the church. And we haven't run into anybody that's telling the truth. Every once in a while we'll run into a cult. That's getting rare anymore. And what I want us to understand is the main thing for a church is to be seeking souls. And if we're not seeking souls, then are we doing what Jesus said? And I'm going to go through some principles here. And let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And I've got quite a few verses here, and if you can't keep up, write them down, that's fine. And I will tell you, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I was raised in a Baptist church that I didn't hear much about soul winning. As a teenager, as a young boy growing up. Then I went and Sharon and I got married in a church that she grew up in, and still didn't hear much about going soul winning. And in fact, their idea of visitation was to go visit church members that hadn't been coming in a while. And I remember a man that came and was our interim pastor. And I remember him saying something about it. He said his name was Luther Dyer. And I remember Brother Luther saying, this isn't what visitation's all about. Y'all are visiting people that are already saved. How come you're not going door knocking and visiting people that aren't saved? And finding those. And so what I started studying the Bible about soul winning. Actually, I didn't actually look up soul winning. It was looking me up, if you know what I mean. I'm studying my Bible, and everywhere I go, there's passages that are telling me, hey, why aren't you doing this? Hey, what's going on? Hey, there's souls dying and going to hell. And so I prompted myself. I didn't have anybody to train me the first few times I went out. In fact, probably several years. And I couldn't get away from it. So I started going out cold turkey. You're going to make mistakes when you do something like that. It's kind of like I mentioned in Sunday school. If you go to learn to ride a bike, guess what? You're going to fall down sometimes before you learn. But there is nothing, I want to tell you something, there is nothing more rewarding this side of heaven than to you helping someone come to Christ.
Amen.
Nothing. And we go out every Saturday morning. I'm going to start going out at least once during the week sometimes. And if you are interested in going, I would love to have company. You don't have to say a word. Just be my partner and pray while I'm talking to people. But I want you to understand, you can't get away from it in the Bible.
Amen.
Let's look at the passage here in Matthew chapter 4. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. And this is Jesus talking to Simon Peter and Andrew. Look at verse 18 and following. And it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings, and what a blessing it is to know that I was a target for some soul winners. Lord, if it hadn't been for them, I might still be on my way to hell today. But Lord, I pray for you just to help us today. Lord, I know these verses are very pointed. But Lord, like the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the words of the wise are as goads. The goad being a sharp stick that points us, moves us from where we are to where we ought to be. Lord, I pray for you just to be with the message today. There's so many people that need our help. There's so many people that need our Jesus. And Lord, I admit we can't do anything worthwhile without your help. But Lord, you're looking for volunteers to use. And Lord, it's been, I guess, about 40 years ago that I volunteered. Lord, I pray for you just to be with the message. It's not my message. It's your message. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit be the one to do the work, to touch the hearts, to challenge us. For it's in the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and this was one that really still kicks me in the backside sometimes when I'm not doing what I should do. And if you look at the verse in what Jesus said to Simon Peter and Andrew, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." A lot of people want to argue with that, and they say, well, soul winning is not my gift. Nowhere in the Bible can you see that soul winning is a gift. Soul winning is a command. And it's a command pointed to each person that trusts Jesus as their Savior. No, it's not easy. Like I said in Sunday school, one of the things that bothers a lot of people about soul winning, about going door knocking, about talking to people about Jesus and getting saved, is the fact that they don't feel they know the Bible well enough. And I'll admit, there were times when I did not have an answer for the questions, but what I did, when somebody asked me a question I didn't know, I'd go home, I'd study it out, I'd get the answer, and I'd go back. And the Bible says, be ready always to give an answer. What we need to do is to study the book, because, number one, the book is what we need. It's what makes us clean, Jesus says in John chapter 15. He says, ye are made clean through the word, or ye are clean through the word. What we need to do is to realize that the book is what the world needs. You look at this particular passage, it does not say, follow me and you'll become fishers of men. It does not say, follow me and you should become fishers of men. It says, follow me. And then when we start following Jesus, it's His responsibility to make us a fisher of men. He says, I will make you a fishers of men. I want you to get that. I challenged the Lord. I really did. When it came time for me to go soul winning, I said, Lord, I don't think I can do this. But everywhere in the Bible, I kept running into verses, and we're going to go through quite a few of them today. But I kept going through these verses, and I said, Lord, I can't do this. And you know what He said? He said, no, you can't. But I can use you to do it.
Amen.
And so just like I said, like riding a bicycle, when I fell down, when I fell on my face, when I put my foot in my mouth, what happened was, I'd get up and try again. Here Jesus promises, He says, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. The responsibility is on Jesus once we follow Him.
That's right.
Okay, it's not on us. He says, I'll do this. Because if you try to do it, and I try to do it, we can't do it. Jesus says, without me ye can do nothing. And so what we see here is the fact that Jesus told Simon Peter and Andrew, He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 16. We'll look at two verses there in chapter 16. And I know a lot of people think that this passage is talking about Peter, Jesus building his church on Peter. That is not what He's saying. You say, well, that's what it says in the Bible. I want you to understand, we weren't standing there. But look at what it says in verse 18. And well, let's go to verse 17. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I want to focus on verse 18. And it says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word there for Peter is Petros. Petros in the Greek is a pebble. How many of you have ever thought about trying to build something on a pebble? Now you get a bunch of pebbles, you can build something with them, but you can't build anything on a pebble. But the difference between the word Peter, the name Peter, and the word Jesus used for rock The word rock there is Petra. It's a boulder. What I believe Jesus probably did was he said, "Thou art Peter, you're a pebble, but upon this rock I will build my church."
Amen.
And Peter figured that out when you get to 1 Peter, when he talks about the fact that the Lord is the chief cornerstone. But I want to look at this particular passage too. It says not only is Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." I'm going to go ahead and hit a couple bad doctrines here while I'm here in this verse. First off, Jesus says, "I will build my church." So many people believe that the church was started on Pentecost. But the problem with that is Jesus said he was going to build it. Amen. Not the Holy Spirit was going to build it. The Holy Spirit empowered the church on Pentecost. But he did not. Jesus built his church. He started his church during his earthly ministry. And look at the last part of the verse, and it says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us." Gates around a city are not going to come at you. Okay? Gates are defensive helps, defending from an attack. But I want you to get in your mind, hell has gates, according to what Jesus says. And maybe they're figurative. But Jesus is saying here, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Just like I mentioned earlier about this one lady that I drove a bus with. I kept after her. I said, "When you coming to church?" "Well, I already got a church." I said, "You promised me you'd come to my church." I kept after her, just aggravating her a little bit, teasing with her. But the truth is, when she did come to church, she got saved.
Amen.
Now I want you to figure, when you talk to somebody, don't push, but every once in a while, give them a little nudge. And I want you to think about it like a battering ram at the gates. You hit it once, it doesn't give. Hit it twice, it doesn't give. You keep hitting that gate, the gates of hell, with that battering ram of the gospel. Eventually they're going to give. Jesus said they're not going to prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And so what is it a picture of? It's a picture of souls in the devil's camp. It's a picture of people that you and I know that aren't saved. And what happens is the fact that they need you and I to keep using the gospel, that battering ram of the gospel, to bust those gates open, to rescue the perishing. But let's go somewhere else. Let's go over to verse 26 in the same chapter. And look at what Jesus says in verse 26. He says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I want you just to imagine the wealth that people like Saddam Hussein had, or Adolf Hitler had, or Joseph Stalin, or these people like that. The wealth that they had was just a drop in the bucket compared to what the value of their soul was. Jesus here in verse 26 is telling us that one soul is worth more than the riches of the entire world. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want you to understand that when you go soul winning and you win a soul like Brother Myron did yesterday, you made heaven, number one, you've made heaven a lot sweeter. Number two, you've made the blood of Jesus more valuable because he's bought another soul. But also, and this is one, there's a couple of them. Number one, it gives the devil a black eye. Because he doesn't want to lose any of them. Plus it makes, the Bible says that the angels rejoice. There's rejoicing around the throne of God, according to Luke chapter 15. But this is what motivates me. I hate to see people going to hell. I've got a lot of motivation, a lot of reasons to try to win souls. But one is, I've been commanded to do it. And it shows the love of Jesus. Love I have for him. Let's go to John chapter 14. And like I'm saying, this is a sermon, basically, that the Holy Spirit preached to me years ago. Just going to look at a short verse. Look at verse 15. It says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." What we're supposed to do is go. When the Bible, and I just taught this lesson at the college. You know what the Bible means when it says go? There's another message. I know it says go, but it's also teaching us we're not where we're supposed to be. When God says go, he wants you someplace else than where you are. And so what we see is the fact that this passage right here, he tells us to go, and then this one says, if you love me, you're going to go. I use Facebook to kind of bless God's people, challenge some that are on the border, and aggravate those that don't love Jesus. You say, why do you do that? Well, I hit it pretty hard this past week or so about people that say they love Jesus and skipping church for the football game. And I'm going to go back when Sharon and I first started dating. I'd tell her I love you. And eventually, she started saying, actions speak louder than words. And I'm saying that because that's what God's telling us too. Don't just tell me you love me. Show me.
Amen.
Show me how much you love me. It was interesting because when we started our first church, it was in Missouri, and the motto of Missouri is they're the show me state. And so it kind of helped me understand that I need to show people the love of God. I need to show God that I love him by going and doing what he's called me to do. And what we see here is, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Let's go through some more. I'll give you this one, just Luke chapter 10, chapter 19, verse 10. The Bible says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If Jesus came and left heaven for the purpose of winning souls, why can't we go across the street or across town or pass out tracts when we're at the restaurant or at the grocery store? I don't get around as much as I used to. My legs are not as strong as they used to be, but I'm still going to go. I'm still going to find a way to reach people. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You're not going to do much as far as soul winning or making a difference in others' lives if you're not prayed up. But if you pray it up, I guarantee you, you'll see something marvelous happen. We prayed for souls yesterday, and we saw one get saved. Turn over to Genesis chapter 19. We'll look at verse 13 and following. And this is the angels talking to Lot. And it says, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. I want you to think about that. Lot's testimony was so bad that his sons-in-laws and his daughters were destroyed because they didn't believe him. You know, one of the things that we need as a soul winner is to have a good testimony. I worked at the phosphate mines here in Bartow for a lot of years, 25 years. I've been gone now almost 23. But the key is, I wasn't a very godly man when I had some foul language and hung around the wrong kind of people when I first started working at the mines. And what happened was, the Lord saved me. And He changed me. But it took a little while for those people that I used to work with to realize that there's been a change in this old boy. And I'm saying that to say this, your testimony is important, because if you want to win your family, if you want to win your loved ones, if you want to win your neighbors and friends, you've got to have a godly testimony. Oh yeah, they picked fun at me. They made a lot of jokes about the preacher. Oh, Brian got saved. Ha ha ha. What aggravated them, I could argue with them and debate them as good as anybody, and I didn't use the cuss words. And I've still got a little bit of that. I can say things hard and not mean it. But the truth is, your testimony matters so much more than you know. Because Lot's testimony stunk. And he paid a price for it. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. So let me ask you this. If you're not winning souls, what does that say? You can call it unwise, you can call it foolish. I'm not adding to the Bible. Whatever the opposite of wise is, that's what we are if we don't try to win souls. Another one is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. It says, a true witness delivereth souls. So what does that make us? What kind of witness does that make us if we don't try to deliver souls? I told you that this was going to make you uneasy, because the Lord's beat me up over this. But like I said, and I'm going to go ahead and say this. I truly believe that the Lord granted us permission to buy this kingdom, this old Kingdom Hall building, because ever since we started Bible Baptist Church, we've focused on souls. Whether it's passing out goodie bags with tracts at the Christmas parade, whether it's knocking doors, whether it's going into the rec center and having backyard Bible clubs or wherever, teen nights at the youth shelter, at the jail, doesn't matter. We go in, we want to see more souls saved. If I've got a flaw, and I'm not saying I don't, I probably got plenty of them, and you probably see them, but I don't want it to be a flaw that keeps a soul out of heaven. I was watching Jack Hiles, a video of him talking about the four calls of a soul winner. And he said there's a call from within. By the way, if you say, well, I'm not called to be a soul winner, you're right. It's commanded. It's a command. It's a mandate from Jesus. He goes as far as to say, he that gathereth not with me scattereth. I know it's getting quiet. And I'm not trying to be mean. Believe me. But the most important thing for this entire world is to get this right. For Christians to say, Lord, I can't do this, but I'm going to trust you to help me. It will amaze you. I was so shy. I'm going to go ahead and call it what it was. I was so ashamed. The Holy Spirit told me I was ashamed. Because I would take a tract. I would start giving out tracts. And he would prompt me to put tracts out. And what I would do is I'd put them down and make sure nobody's looking. I'm serious. And I was scared to death when the Holy Spirit said, I want you to put one of these tracts in this cashier's hand. What? You want me to do what? And guess what? 99% of the people that you give a tract to will either take it and thank you, take it and put it in their purse or their pocket. Some of them might throw it away. And some of them will turn them down. But I want you to understand, you're giving them an opportunity to go to heaven. Many years ago, the Holy Spirit and I, we've talked a lot about this, about soul winning. And he asked me a question one time. And he said, Brian, how many people do you want to see go to hell? And you know what my answer was? He didn't give me a chance to answer. He said, everybody you don't witness to, because you don't give them a choice. That's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. And he's beat me up over that. Why am I a track passing fool? Sharon and I were at Sam's Friday. We had oodles and oodles of people buying up their Super Bowl party stuff. But there was a bunch of them got something they weren't counting on. I'm passing out those dinosaur footprint cards with the gospel, with the plan of salvation on the back. Now I'm saying all that to say this. It's if you're saying I can't do this, your excuse isn't going to work any better than mine were working. Or Moses, remember Moses? He said, Lord, I'm not eloquent enough. And the Lord said, who made man's mouth? Who made your mouth? You know, God's got somebody. I'll go a step farther. God has certain people that only you can win. I personally believe there's a guy, a member of our church. Gary and Ramona are sick, but I believe that Gary was the target that God put in my path. And maybe nobody else could have reached him, but I had the influence, I had the connection. He and I had been friends for a long time, worked together. But when the time came in back in 1987, and that was the very first time I ever led anybody to Christ, I asked Gary, I said, Gary, the world's getting scarier all the time. I said, why don't you get saved? And he looked at me, he thought a minute, he said, let's do it. And what happened was nothing short of a miracle. We were in the paint crew at work at the paint shop, and we went in the paint can, went into the paint storage room and knelt down at a paint can altar. And Gary called on Jesus to get saved. I don't have a closer friend this side of heaven. And I want you to understand, what happens if I don't keep taking the battering ram of the gospel and ramming that door, those gates of hell? What happens to Gary? What happens to your friends? What happens to your family? There's no guarantee. No guarantees that they're going to get saved. But you know, one of the things that the Lord's always brought back to me is, what happens if I lead somebody to Christ, and that person leads somebody to Christ, and that person leads somebody to Christ, and that person leads somebody, one of my family, to Christ? It works that way, you know. What's sowing and reaping's all about that. We'll give you a couple more passages. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 talks about the fact that soul winners are going to shine in heaven. And you say, what do I say? Let's go there right quick. Let's go to John chapter 4. Look at verse 29. Jesus has just had this dialogue with the woman at the well. Look at verse 28, and it says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She'd never been to Bible college. She didn't know much about the truth, about the scriptures. If you read the dialogue earlier in the chapter. But all she did was say, come see a man. Here she was, only saved a few minutes. But there's a revival broke loose in Sychar because of her. By the way, that's why Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He knew there was a woman there who was going to stir up the world and get somebody to say, maybe you're that one that can stir up in your area. Heaven knows we need a lot of people that will stir up things for Jesus in this country and around the world. I'm not going to go there, but read John chapter 9, verse 25. It talks about the blind man that Jesus healed. And he's standing before the Sanhedrin. A scary bunch. And he says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, I was blind, now I see. You can't tell as vividly and as accurately somebody what happened to me or somebody else, but you can sure tell the difference that Jesus has made to you. And you'll be surprised at how he'll use it. Oh, the devil's going to try to discourage you. You knock on doors, and they'll slam the door in your face, or they'll peek out the window, won't answer the door. But next thing you know, you see that the devil's trying to discourage you because there's a soul waiting on you. I think about Basil. I'll close with this. Little old man. We'd never even seen the apartment complex when we were in Kansas City. Never even knew it was there. We were driving by, and I just felt like yesterday, Brother Myron. I saw this. I said, let's knock these apartments here. My soul winning partners went to one side of the complex, and I went to this side, knocked on the door. It was downstairs. I knocked on the door. Little man came to the door. Name's Basil. And Basil couldn't believe I knocked on his door. Why? He'd been praying 2 weeks for a preacher to come by. Basil got saved. We had to pick him up every time he came to church, but he got involved in the nursing home ministry. He was running the sound for us at church. I got a chance to get him saved that day and then baptized me. He started going soul winning with us. There's people out there waiting on each of us the same way. Like I said, if you would just be my soul winning partner, you don't have to say a word. But I'd like to go during the week sometimes and it'll be amazing what the Lord will do. But I know what happens if we don't go. And I'm not satisfied with that. So we're going to have a different type of invitation. I want you to simply pray. During the invitation, I want you to pray. Lord, help me to be a soul winner. If you're just passing out tracts, you're doing more than 98% of those that claim the name of Christ. Just give them out at the drive-thru, at the restaurant, or wherever. But just talk to the Lord. We've got plenty of tracts, and if we run out, we're going to get more. But the Bible says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more we need to attend church, but also so much the more we need to try to reach the world while there's time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy, and what a blessing it is. A blessing it is to see you work. And Lord, that's one of the marvelous things about being a soul winner. I've got dear, dear friends all over this country. Lord, I pray for you just to help us. It's not been a shouting type message, but it could be if somebody gets saved because of it. Lord, we want you to move in a special way in our hearts. And Lord, even now, I want you to lay somebody in particular on our hearts so we can pray for them. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Let the name of Jesus be glorified in the invitation. As we pray, Lord, answer our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.